Today, President Trump met with members of the Senate Finance Committee to talk about two big items on his agenda, taxes and health care. In a tweet this morning, Trump appeared to walk back his support for a bipartisan deal struck yesterday by Senators Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray. Trump had this to say ahead of today's Senate Finance Committee meeting.
Well, we'll see the bipartisan. We're going to see the bipartisan, and Lamar Alexander's working on it very hard from our side. And if something can happen, that's fine. But I won't do anything to enrich the insurance companies, because right now the insurance companies are being enriched. They've been enriched by Obamacare like nothing anybody's ever seen before.
Let's bring in our political strategist, Angela Rye, the Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. And Paris Denard, our Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, guys, this bipartisan health plan, it was to help insurance companies continue to cover low-income working Americans. This is not the very poor. That's Medicaid. It would benefit many Trump voters. And Catherine Rampell, the Washington Post columnist, I'm reading her in Oregon's Register Guard, is one of many who's asking, why would Trump supporters support this? It's against their best interest, you know, getting rid of the subsidy. She writes, maybe they believe any big government expansions would disproportionately go to the wrong kinds of people, people unlike themselves. Paris, if the president really doesn't go along with expanding this subsidy for at least 2 years, which yesterday he said he wanted, isn't this going to backfire on him?
I don't know if it's going to backfire on the president, but I do know that at the end of the day, the president wants the best deal, and he is very focused on ensuring that it's the better deal for the American people and not the insurance companies. And that is what the focus is. So if you have to get down to the details of every bill, and as the White House gets down to the details, if they find that it doesn't align with what the president's goals are, which is support for and tax, not tax, but affordable health care for the American people,
right,
then you're going to see him go back to the negotiating table and not going to move forward.
We are hearing that there's talk of adding some wording so that it's ensured that this money does go to paying for these premiums.
Right. And that is what is important to the president. That is important to the White House. And that, frankly, is important to those Republicans in leadership who understand that they need to have a win. Again, we've been saying it for 7 years now, repeal and replace. Well, you've got to do something that is for the American people. That's why you saw the president with these health care executive orders. And that's why you see him supporting this plan, but not supporting it to the point that it does not do what the intent is, which is to benefit and help the American people.
Well, some Republicans are looking past the health care debate and saying if they want to get a win, it's going to be on tax cuts. Angela, let me turn to you. What are Democrats going to do? Do you expect some of them will support whatever tax cut package comes through?
Well, Jeremy, you know I would love to answer this question, but we can't just breeze past healthcare like that. Because, you know, of course, I have a rebuttal. Let me just say very quickly, it's very clear that Donald Trump doesn't want to just create affordable care, healthcare opportunities for the American people after trying to sabotage and being caught on the record saying just that he wanted to sabotage and end Obamacare. The executive orders don't make health care more affordable or more easily accessible to the American people. In fact, it makes it so people with prior existing conditions have a more difficult time, the very thing that the ACA was designed to kind of fight against. And so I really am proud of my hometown senator, Senator Patty Murray, for the work that she did in a bipartisan matter. And bipartisanship, my friends, has been going out of the window under this administration in record numbers. So it's great to see them trying to work towards something. As it relates to tax reform, I think it's once again going to depend. The Democratic Party is a big tent party for a reason. It's one that looks out for the little guy and really looks like they're being called to the carpet on that front and center under this administration at every turn. And so they're going to have the responsibility of ensuring that whatever tax reform proposal that's put forth doesn't overly impact small businesses, doesn't overly impact working class.
So it sounds like you're leaving the door open. And we've heard this from Senator Wyden, too, that some Democrats may support the tax cuts.
Yeah, if it makes sense. And I think that is the million-dollar question.
Okay. Well, I want to take up the war of words over words that presidents use with families of fallen soldiers. This week, President Trump suggested former President Obama did not contact families of soldiers killed in action. Here he is on Fox News.
Now, as far as other representatives, I don't know. I mean, you could ask General Kelly, did he get a call from Obama? You could ask other people. I don't know what Obama's policy was. I write letters and I also call. Now, sometimes, you know, if you had a tragic event with it's very difficult to be able to do that. But I have called, I believe, everybody, but certainly I'll use the word virtually everybody.
OK, put aside that General Kelly, whose son was killed in action, did go to a Gold Star dinner and sat with the Obamas. But yesterday, Donald Trump did call a widow of one of the soldiers, the four soldiers killed in Niger. That's how this all came up. Now, Congresswoman Frederick Wilson of Florida said Trump told the widow in the phone call that her son must have known what he signed up for, but still it must have hurt. Now, Trump tweeted out he didn't say that and he had proof. But of course, the Washington Post Paris reached out to the mother of the soldier. They're now reporting that she told the Post that Trump, quote, did disrespect my son. She was present during the call, and that President Trump said to the widow of the soldier, you know, your husband must have known what he signed up for. Look, Paris, is this a president who just has trouble with empathy?
No, I don't think this is a president who has trouble with empathy. I think this is a president who has trouble with getting a fair and balanced approach to what he says and what he does through the media. Mm-hmm. I think that there's by no means Frederica, the congresswoman, Frederica Wilson, excuse me, is a fan of the president. And I don't think the Washington Post is showing
but
itself to be one.
But the mother of the soldier is confirming it.
But listen, every soldier who goes into battle knows that they run the risk of giving, paying the ultimate sacrifice. That's what makes our soldiers and any person who's either a first offender or a soldier such a hero. And so the fact that the president might have said something to that around that is not a bad thing. It is a fact, and it is something to be celebrated. It's something to be honored. That is why we salute them, and that's why the president says his policy is to call, and it's his policy to write letters. And so he just like President Obama, has held Gold Star family events like the General Kelly attended under the Obama administration. But this is why we honor and celebrate these heroic men and women who put their lives on the line every single day for our freedoms. Because they know that they're going to go, and that is a possibility. And that's why they're here.
Paris, using more words doesn't make this sound any better, my friend. But I will tell you, you know, Donald Trump isn't particularly the most empathetic person we've ever had in office. And I think to point to that, we can look to what he said about John McCain, who I think, Paris, you would argue is a hero during the campaign, right? He's got some type of vendetta against soldiers. And I think it's clear not only in this call, but also with what he said about someone who is known to be a maverick
and when it's needed,
bipartisan.
Let me then get to some sound from John McCain to wrap up our segment here. This is Senator McCain, who, of course, is battling brain cancer now, speaking on Monday night at the Liberty Medal ceremony.
To fear the world we have organized and led the three quarters of a century, to abandon the ideals we have advanced around the globe, to refuse the obligations of international leadership and our duty to remain the last best hope of Earth for the sake of some half-baked, spurious nationalism cooked up by people who would rather find scapegoats than solve problems is as unpatriotic as an attachment to any other tired dogma of the past that Americans consigned to the ash heap of history.
Paris, what did you think when you heard Senator McCain say that?
I think Senator McCain's in the twilight of his career, and he is focusing on building his legacy and saying things that he believes from his heart. If that's what the senator believes, I think he has very much the right to say that. But I think it's going back to what Angela says. The president does not have a vendetta against soldiers. He honors soldiers. He honors veterans. And that is the greatest honor of one of the things that you do as president of the United States is being the commander-in-chief. And it's something he takes very seriously, as did President George W. Bush. And I know President Barack Obama did as well.
We're going to have to leave it at that. That's Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Angela Rye, our Democratic strategist, weighing in. It's only Wednesday on the events of the week. Paris, Angela, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Robert.